This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Around Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen miles in stock, like the T1.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On Tiles and Alice, and remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. So Tyreek Hill, huh?
Let me explain something to you. I don't know how he has all the injury to do that. Him and his wife have been filed for divorce one other time.
It was a mistake.
Okay.
Clerical error is what they claimed.
Is this one a mistake?
Clerical error.
No, I don't think this one's a mistake.
Oh, okay. That's like, you know, that's the equivalent to when Mel took Dre to the vet, he went to get neutered and he looks up and goes, I thought I was getting my nail checked. right.
I thought you were going to say when Meemaw was the witness to Frog Boy's wedding and she used a red pen.
No.
That's dude, a clerical error.
That was hilarious because me and Marcos, I was showing them something and come back and the three ladies were in there signing and I said, hey, by the way, you're married.
They were probably laughing while doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yesterday a report came out that police were called to Tyreek Hill's house. Apparently the call was made by his mother-in-law. He was arguing with his wife, Akita Hill, and that they were arguing. He threw, apparently, according to police, a laptop on the ground, grabbed his baby, and went out to the balcony. There was some footage that was out from Local 10. That wasn't like... too scary, but the police did. They didn't charge him with any crime. They closed the case. They did see a bruise on her that she said it wasn't a big deal. She didn't even want any filing of it, but they still did one. And, you know, another bad headline with Tyreek Hill to go along with, you know, him walking out on the team, kind of demanding a trade publicly, trolling on Twitter, And, you know, just added on the list of what's been just a golden end of the year for Tyreek Hill.
I would say he should reboot, right? Stay away for a minute. Go to another country or something. Do whatever. Go, you and, well, whatever you got going on with your wife, all your kids, y'all go on vacation somewhere. Because you cannot, and here's the most important thing. I got in a little trouble every now and then. Nothing like this. Mm-hmm. But my only issue was I wasn't a captain. I was young.
Yeah.
We, as media, go to him and talk to him like he's a leader. Tyreek is not a leader. Your best player doesn't necessarily mean you're a leader. And so I think the fact that the team and the coaching staff made that assumption, now we all go to Tyreek for everything because he's so-called leader. But maybe he's not the guy that should be relaying the message of the team.
He's definitely not the leader of the team, but he definitely is the voice of the Dolphins publicly because he talks the most. Like if it's not to the media,
but
he talks with his thumbs on Twitter all the time.
You understand that doesn't make it true because you run your mouth.
Doesn't make what true?
Like you how did he become a spokesman for the—
Well, I mean, since he was traded here. He was doing that when he got traded here, and he was saying Tua was better or more accurate than Patrick Mahomes. Everything that he says grabs a headline. He's a headline grabber, dude.
Right.
He is.
I got you.
But this is the, you know, I don't expect the Dolphins to release him because obviously
they're not going to release him,
but
you can't even get an order of oxtail for him.
Not now. No. There's no way. There's no way.
Which is going to make most people think we should have pulled this trigger when we had the chance. We should have, you know, if there were questions, then I personally think if you're Mike McDaniel and you're Chris Greer and your job is at stake this year, can you go into it with that wild card? Now, in fairness, I will say this. Once Tyreek puts the uniform on, no problems. He gonna play hard. He gonna do what he got to do. It's all the time off.
Yeah.
Where he just can't. Like, this is now, what, two off seasons? This is the second off season he was getting divorced. Then they had the boat situation.
They had the marina situation. But the big—
when did he break the girl's leg?
That was sometime over the summer.
Summer.
Happened like once or twice too.
What?
In two different instances, him dealing with a model. There was like two different incidences, right?
I don't know. All I know is that the chick from England, right?
The chick from England who's suing him because she apparently broke his leg. She broke her leg on his property.
Why are you trying to cover one?
But like the thing that's different here out of everything else, it's not even so much, you know, about, hey, Tyreek's always been a guy who's come with baggage. He's had baggage, literally came into the NFL with baggage with, you know, his domestic violence stuff in college. I got him kicked out of college from the stuff that he had with his kid in Kansas City. He's always been a guy with baggage.
Mm-hmm.
This now comes with the idea of, is he a declining superstar who also walked out on his team, who also was a captain, who also kind of implied he wants out of Miami and now has been doing damage control ever since, and now is also still dealing with his off-the-field baggage on top of all of the football stuff.
Here's what you have to ask yourself, and here's what the Dolphins are asking themselves. Is it worth it? See, here's guys who are off the field a terror. They ain't going to, like, you hope they show up.
Mm-hmm.
But if they show up, you ain't got to worry about them playing, and they're contributions far exceed any trouble they get in. That's what needs to be asked. See, life is about tolerating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you meet a nice individual, smoking hot. This is a male or a female, right? And you go, not the brightest bulb in the, you know, in the box. But then you say, but man, ooh, he or she is. I'll take the L.
You probably knew, like, when they traded for Tyreek Hill, you knew it was going to be, like, a wild ride. Like, it's like, oh, my God. Yes. Watching this man play football is addicting as a fan to see him at the peak right. of his powers. But also, hey, there's a reason Kansas City didn't keep him around.
So let me ask you. I make you Mike McDaniel or Chris Greer. You know how important this season is. Can you go into it? Can you depend on Tyreek Hill if it means keeping your job?
Oh, I don't think so. But here's the thing. This is where, unfortunately, like, I don't know what happened with the Tyreek Hill. It doesn't seem like a great situation. If your mother-in-law is calling the cops on you because of how you're behaving around your wife, that's not a great situation. But the personal stuff aside, like, whatever happened or whatever anybody wants to say, no crimes, no crimes, it doesn't matter. It's another log on the fire, and everything follows him. So if the Dolphins were planning to trade him or they were planning, how do you do it now? Because what are you going to get for him? And so then you also have to ask yourself, all right, so what's it worth? Do we just walk away? Do we just not have him on the team? Where do you go from there? What does it mean for our salary cap? Like, those are the choices you do make when you get into it with Tyreek Hill, and maybe he's also just not as good as he used to be.
Here's the problem. And the problem with all this is this. If you're Tyreek Hill, you just live life. Because just like the Dolphins were, there's going to be another team that thinks Tyreek can get us over the hump. And I'm starting to think Tyreek might have a little Jimmy in him, being that, oh, it's all good when I first get there and everything's being taken care of, and but I can do this and I can do that, and then it wears off.
Yeah, but here's the difference. The Dolphins paid him last year. Like, they gave him a raise for no reason last year.
Well,
you know, they did take care of him.
They didn't necessarily give him a raise because the way these money
they gave him more guaranteed money.
They probably gave him more guaranteed money, but the amount of money it counts against the cap. That's how they go about getting cap space. Give a guy, so if you're going to make, say, 3 years, $60 million, right? But only 20 of it was guaranteed.
Dude, they did.
I guaranteed 30 of it.
Last
you
year,
only count.
They didn't want a Xavien Howard Maxwell situation, right? Remember when that happened, where they paid a new cornerback and they paid him higher than Xavien Howard, even though Xavien Howard thought that he was better. They paid Jalen Waddle last year, and they knew the Chiefs was going to be like, he's not going to be the number one paid receiver. I'm number one player in the NFL, and so they gave him a bump last year. But the question now is, and know that he was dealing with the wrist thing. Had something done with his knee where he had stem cells or something that he said. He is 30. Like, when does that fastest man on the field? Like, when does that, like, it, the other thing is, like, it's also, is he declining on top of all that? So while this is this is just another thing to add on top of it. You already had the backdrop of you were doing damage control with him anyway because of how he ended the year.
I would say this. I'm not worried about declining yet, right? I would say last year's lack of productivity had more to do with Mike McDaniel than Tyreek. That being said, like, a 30-year-old wide receiver is not like a 30-year-old running back. It's not like a 30-year-old lineman or anything like that. So just because he's 30, that doesn't mean anything. You can run fast for a long time. My problem is, how is what he's doing and some of the things he's doing on a football field affecting everybody else? Because as a coach, Mike McDaniel could come in and say, look, guys, we can't have any of this. All right? And we decided to go this direction because of it. But, and Mike and Chris Greer got to have a conversation is, would you put your job on the line? Would you put your job on the line? Because you know if this goes sideways, you know what that means, right? That means we're fired.
Yeah.
So,
but this is going to be like the defining thing of Chris Greer's tenure with it, right? And that's kind of what one of the things those guys are wrestling with right now is they probably already passed their window with the stars on this team.
You think?
Yeah, probably.
I don't think, see.
Because Leroy, you lost Christian Wilkins. Bradley Chubb got hurt. Tyreek Hill's not as good. Tua didn't stay healthy.
Tyreek Hill didn't have a good year.
Okay, fine. What?
I
semantics.
Don't think it's not. No, but.
Semantics.
But, when you say he's not as good, like,
do you think he's gonna have a? Do you think he's gonna have another? Do you think Tyreek Hill has another 1,800 yard season in him?
No, I'm saying he'll be around 1,500.
Okay,
1,400, 1,500. That's an like that's one of the greatest seasons ever.
It's an incredible.
Why are you making it a norm?
I'm not making it a norm, but
you are.
He nearly had half his yards last year. It nearly was cut in half.
A lot of that, maybe the injury played a role in it, but I'm telling you, a lot of it was all them damn bubble screens.
Okay.
They didn't throw the ball down the field. That's not Tyreek's fault. And Mike pretty much said that.
Yeah, of course you're going to say that. Why would you say that?
Because since we can watch the TV and see it, you're throwing all these little short passes
okay. And
not extending the field.
All right.
For whatever reason.
Maybe, but also, okay, you don't think, hold on, Leroy, you can't say, can we just say this? I'm not disagreeing with you. But you're going to say it's 0% that he's not going to be the player that he is? Because a player does, happens all the time, where a receiver, Cooper Kupp, same thing, triple crown season, fell off the face of the earth. Tyreek Hill was hurt last year.
Not his legs.
One of them was. Hurt.
Okay, here's what I would say to you. That you sound like a fan because you're determining Tyreek's rise and fall based only on numbers. And I would say it's pretty hard for Tyreek to have the same numbers that he had the year before if you're throwing them bubble screens for half the year. So there's a little bit of both. I would say this. Tyreek dropped a lot of passes last year.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know how to put that on the wrist or him, or maybe he is declining. But I'm not going to chalk it up to 1 year and him being over 30. Because he plays a position that you can run and, you know, play a lot longer than, say, a running back. But the attitude and all the other stuff, as much as I'm defending his production last year,
mm-hmm.
I can't defend all the other stuff.
But if you want to bring it to a Jimmy thing, like the attitude and all that stuff, it wears thin, as you say, to tolerance when it's not as good.
But I said the same thing when Jimmy was going through. I said, this is Tyreek and Jimmy, samesies.
Well, I don't want to say samesies. Like, you know.
Here's what I would say. Jimmy has gave you more with the Heat than Tyreek has with the Dolphins. And part of that is simply because of the position.
Cap says the window is the size of a mouse hole, but it's still there.
Well, good. The only people that can fit through it are all our wide receivers.
Malik, Jalen, come on.
We welcome you to Lollipop Land.
Take a break.
Can we get a giant?
Back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQM. JFig has tickets again with Scooby.
I have more?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
4-pack of tickets to Bark at the Park.
It's amazing. It's amazing that woman singing that song is married to
Mr. Unlimited.
You know how sometimes you just can't see it?
What's going on with them, huh? They're going to have him and Jameis in the same quarterback room, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
That's a clash of personalities.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about it. I mean, they honestly, to be real, that would be a great buddy cop film. Jameis and Mr. Unlimited.
Here's the other thing that I would say about that, though. When you think of Jameis, everybody loves Jameis. Say what you want about him. Every teammate, they all love him. When he talks, yeah, they all listen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the NFL has the totally opposite feeling about Russell Wilson. And this all started from Legion of Boom.
Yes.
And so, like, yeah.
Tate South says that pregame prayer is going to be 30 minutes. Oh. They're going to try and out-prayer each other.
Oh, my goodness.
But you could just, you know, like, if they were in a ride-along, like, you have Russ.
I think Jameis would beat him up.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
And here's why. When you watch Jameis Winston throw the football, you're still in awe.
Piss whistle?
Yes.
Mm.
Accurate, all these things. And it's strong. You got a hose on him. The problem is, and here's the problem, those bad decision-making skills only happen in the game.
Don't sleep on cutlets. Tommy Cutlets, huh? Still there. I'm sorry.
Who's the last quarterback? Well, that would have to be in San Francisco, right?
Who?
That just came out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, Purdy.
Purdy. I mean, if we think about it, when was the announcer drafted? Not Tom Brady.
Romo?
Romo.
Yeah, Romo's years back, though.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking, is that the most... Was Romo drafted or was he a free agent?
I don't remember.
Because?
I think he wasn't drafted.
Is that the only guy we can think of, undrafted guy that ended up?
That good?
Yeah. Tom Brady was one pick away from.
He was close.
Yeah.
I don't know. You want me to look up a list of most successful undrafted quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's probably three.
Undrafted NFL. This is riveting.
Romo didn't get drafted, right?
This is me Googling.
Kurt Warner. Ooh, Hall of Famer. Kurt Warner was also 38 when he entered the league.
Something called Sportskeeda.
Dude, you just.
I don't like that.
Dude, what?
That's what it's called.
Dude, I can't tell if that's a sports site or a portal site.
Jake DeLome.
Oh, Jake DeLome was undrafted?
Jeff Garcia,
okay.
Tony Romo. Warren Moon.
Warren Moon was undrafted? Well, that's a different... Because Warren Moon went to play in the Canadian Football League and then came over, and then there was a lot of teams that wanted him.
Mm.
So he's in the Hall of Fame for two leagues. He's in the Hall of Fame in Canadian football and because he was black and short.
And Kurt Warner, number one, they put...
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Pretty good. Oh, look at this. We got a legend joining us here, huh? A legend joining us here. You're going to see him at UFC 314. Jim, well, I can't say, we're on the radio, Jim, so I can't say your full name, unfortunately, today. But join us here on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop 2,000 Toyotas online, on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and toyotaofhollywood.com. Jim Miller, an absolute UFC legend. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
You're taking on this kid, Chase Hooper. We had him back when he was 19 fighting on the regional scene here, Jim.
Uh-huh.
But, like, does it make you, like, do you like this scenario of taking on the young whippersnappers? Does it make you feel old, or do you like teaching them a thing or two?
Being old makes me feel old. I've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
I've essentially averaged three fights a year in the UFC for whatever it is now, 16 going on 17 years. So, I've been like living in that crucible that is like fight camp, essentially my entire adult life. So, I don't have to fight 25-year-olds or anybody younger to feel it at this point. Chase is he's a young up and comer. He's a stud. It gets me excited because I have seen him fight for a while now. And, I've been a fan of his for a bit.
Jim, is this one of these situations like you've been around forever and UFC says, you know what? If this guy's legit, he's got to get through Jim. You're like kind of like the gatekeeper of like UFC and your division simply because, you know, you've been at it so long.
You know, maybe like the term gatekeeper, honestly, in MMA kind of gets thrown around as like a little bit of a not a compliment, right?
Oh, no.
Honestly, it's like, hey, you know, I'm here to fight. And, you know, I have fought a lot of guys that went on to fight for the title and guys that became champ and guys that were former champ and stuff. So, like, I've fought a who's who and you know, it's really just about, like, for me, it's just about the fight. Like, I don't really look at it any other way than that. Like, you know, my job Saturday night is to go out and to win in a way that makes me happy, you know, which is violent and dominant. And, you know, like there's not a picture of me in the octagon after winning a decision where I'm happy, you know, and that's just who I am. So like, yeah, like the goal has always been to go out and win in a way that, that I get pumped for. But yeah, you know, like if these guys want to get through to the top of the division, you know, they have to fight their way up. And, you know, I'm here. So, you know, and it's bound to happen.
But the thing that's incredible about you, Jim, is like a lot of times we see when things happen with guys in your sport and it gets to the fall off, like usually it's like you go to the Wikipedia, there's a lot of red there. I'm so impressed by not only the activity that you keep every single year, but you're still winning, man. Like you're submitting guys months ago. Like, how do you stay sharp like that? Because normally we see, like, once it seems like it starts falling off for a UFC fighter, like it's hard for them to get back in the mindset of just getting a win.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we have the time to get into all of it, right? You know, like there's a lot of things that have helped me, you know, extend my career. And honestly, I feel like it's been some of the bad stuff, right? I was diagnosed with Lyme disease in 2016. I believe that I was bit. I had my first symptoms in 2013. So I went about 2.5 years, pushing 3 years, with it undiagnosed, and the symptoms beat the tar out of me, you know. And I felt like it was, hey, I've been a professional fighter for a decade, you know, fighting the best in the world. This is what I'm supposed to feel like. And I kind of just pushed it to the side. And I was like, this is my body just telling me I've been going too hard. And when I was diagnosed, I not that I had a bad lifestyle to begin with. I just really, really started focusing on those things that were going to make me better. Through the Lyme disease while I was still competing. And honestly, I think taking that type of approach really has been one of those things that added to my career. You know, I started making a lot of those decisions. I mean, food quality is one of those things that now in 2025, everybody talks about. I was doing that 10 years ago, you know, because I had to. I was forced to. You know, it wasn't just a choice. It was like, so I could survive, so I could continue doing what I love to do and support my family. You know, so like I was pushed to make these decisions that, were going to, just get me through those hard times, but they ended up helping, with that longevity.
What is it about Chase? Like, what are the things that you focus on? Because obviously, you know, the guy's been, you know, grappling since he was like a toddler. You're obviously one of the best to do it. So are there things that even like with all your knowledge, like he just maybe not even be prone to just because, you know, you have miles and miles of experience in the octagon with it?
Yeah, you know what? He is a tough dude. And he's got that like kind of newer age style of grappling, right? It's like it's very flowy, it's very like you don't push back. You know, I come from you know, my black belt I got under Jamie Cruz, who was known for his pressure game. You know, and he's a Henzo Gracie black belt and one of Henzo's, you know, one of his first, I believe, in his top 10, you know, or first 10. So I come from that like more traditional heavy grinding style of jiu-jitsu, and honestly, you know, I've learned a lot of the new stuff because you have to adapt, you have to change. but you also have to play to your strengths in the fight. So I know what my strengths are, and I feel like it's a good matchup. But he's tricky. He's very flexible. He throws up his legs from positions where there are a lot of guys that can't do that type of stuff, and myself being one of them. I can't throw my ankles behind my ears, you know, and it looks like he can do that type of stuff. So he's very aggressive. He's throwing punches in every position. Like I said before, like I'm a fan of his. I like watching him fight. So it's nutty to think of that, like, hey, you know, like he turned 9 years old when I signed with the UFC, right? Like it's pretty crazy, right? You know, yeah. he is a talented grappler, but I was a black belt fighting the best in the world when he was in like the fifth grade, you know. So like he's training those like those crazy, what the heck, those little rubber bands that, like, you know, they were like big in the 2010 era, right? Like, you know, like and I was a black belt fighting the best in the world. So experience is a tool, it's a weapon. I've made it my mission this entire time. Every time out there, win or lose, I'm trying to learn something new. I'm trying to pick up something. There are always mistakes. I've never had a perfect fight, and I don't believe I ever will. So I've been a student of the game this whole time. So, like, you know, that experience and that mindset, I feel like carries me to win on Saturday.
Is there something like old school? Because we talk all the time in sports radio, like, where, you know, Leroy's like, the run game is lost in football. In basketball, there's too many threes. In baseball, no pitcher can go past four innings anymore. Is there something as like in the old school that you will not break on? You're like, I'm not learning this new confounded thing that everybody loves in mixed martial arts.
It's not necessarily that I won't learn stuff, right? Particularly in like the jiu-jitsu side, right? Everybody tries to like make everything their own, and it bugs the heck out of me that every position now has like six names, and some of them use like partial Japanese, and like you're always dealing with some Portuguese in there as well, and it's like, because everybody wants to name something, a position, and I rag on my instructor all the time when he's just ripping out like, oh, well, this is side saddle or the honey hole or the, you know, outside ashi and all that, you know, and it's like they're all the same position, you know, just show me the position. I don't care about the name at this point. So the naming thing is really the biggest thing that bugs me, that I just don't care. I'll work on it. I'll get as good as I can at it. If it fits into my game, I will make it part of my game. If it doesn't, I'll know it to defend it. But I don't care about the names.
He's like old school. He's not a fan of sampling either.
Yeah.
Come up with your own thing. Don't use somebody else's music and rebrand it.
Jim Miller, we can't wait to see you this weekend. UFC 314 is taking on Chase Hooper, a stacked card at the Kaseya Center. Go get your tickets now if you guys want to go see it, right at the Heat's house, and of course available on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Always a thrill, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for so much for having me, guys.
That is the all-time UFC wins leader, a bona fide legend.
I was in the car the other day.
Yep.
And I heard a song by Doechii, Anxiety. And I'm like,
Doechii Cat?
No.
Who's Doechii?
That's Doja Cat. No. Doechii is somebody different.
Who's that?
She's like a newcomer, right?
Yeah. But she has a song called Anxiety.
Yeah.
And if you hear Anxiety, the music is from somebody else. It's recent.
Isn't there a country artist named Doechii? Who's the new one? She does the boot song?
Dasha?
Dasha, yeah. Samesies.
Except one spelled D-O-E-C-H-I.
Yeah.
And one's D-A-S-H-A?
You and I are on the same page.
How? That's not the same! You're the reason why Jim's so pissed off about renaming moves.
You're also upsetting Brittany.
Because you go, samesies. That's what could you imagine, Jim? Jim, samesies.
Take a break. Back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy. Back with you here, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Panthers back at it tonight on the ice against the Detroit Red Wings. 7 o'clock is your puck drop from the Amerant Bank Arena. Talk out there. I felt like I heard them to say this week. They're out there that day. I think they're out there for that one on Monday. So I think the boys are going to be out there. So go say hello to Hockman and Crowder over at the Cat's House. And Panthers will try and get it going tonight. Now, I do have an update on the Aaron Ekblad from George Richards. Now, apparently he has actually been cleared by the Players Association and the NHL for all team activities. So he is now permitted to practice, be with the team. He's not banished anymore.
Can I just say this? Sure. I asked that question beforehand. I even asked our hockey guy.
Yeah.
And our hockey guy said, no, done.
Well, there's a clearance. I guess there's, you know, maybe.
You can't expect the guy to just cold turkey come back in hockey.
Seems a bit much.
Right.
That's a camera there, by the way, dude. Your face to.
They do it in football, too. Right?
You get cleared, right? You get like a return. You get a return window.
You get a return date.
You get a return
window.
So you're
suspended. You can do a team. You can do this. And then after a certain period of time, you can do team activities.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let us get to the mix bag. Doom, doom. The mix bag is brought to you by Frog Boys Dead Man Shoes. You know that's where he's probably at. He's probably on some dead man shoe auction. That's where he's been the last couple of days. Last night in the NBA, the big story, of course, Luka Doncic made his return to Dallas.
I have never felt happier for a player returning than I was Luka. Just by the way it ended, I wanted him to score 70.
He almost felt like 45's mercy.
Yes.
he's like the emperor. He's like, enough. I've done enough here. The Lakers got 45 from Luka Doncic, but they gave him a montage beforehand, and he started crying. And Slovenian tears, we know this from Goran Dragic. Get you right here. Here's Luka on what stood out from the montage.
All of it, for sure, but I mean, I'll probably say that the shot in the finals of the conference finals, you know, we were always the underdog in every series, so the way we came together and played together, it was just another level, and everybody was locked in, and I would say that was the moment when I remember last year.
I just, like, they were just in the finals, also just gets lost on this.
Wait, so what's worse? What happened to Luka? Or what happened to Malone?
Oh, man.
You see what I'm saying?
Mike Malone sounds like a jerk.
Listen. People would say that about Bill Belichick. But here's what everybody would also say about Bill Belichick. I've never been more prepared to play football than I was with Bill Belichick.
Yep.
And so guess what? If a Mike Malone has to deal with a Tyreek Hill, why can't a Tyreek Hill deal with a Mike Malone if it's making you better?
Mm. Man.
I think if players had a problem with Mike Malone and what he was doing, they're being selfish.
It sounds like the reports that are coming out is...
Him and the GM didn't get along.
Oh, him and the GM didn't speak. But on the player side, they didn't like that special treatment for Joker and Jamal, but they apparently really didn't like it for his special... He loved Russell Westbrook. Loved Russell Westbrook, and that apparently rubbed a lot of players around. But
Russell Westbrook is one of those guys, you either really, really love him or you really, really hate him, but he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh.
The guy plays with more energy than I have ever seen somebody play for this long a period of time.
Yep.
And, like,
but he does the Tyler Hero thing. Like, he's good for like five of those a year.
Oh, we call that it's either called the Tyler Hero or the JaVale McGee.
Or the Philly Cheese.
Or the Philly Cheese. Philly Cheese. Whoa, I'm feeling it, baby.
Speaking of Joker, this is what Nikola Jokic had to say on what ownership told him about the firing of Michael Malone.
I'm not going to say what Josh told me, so, I mean, I knew a little bit before everybody, and he made a decision, so it wasn't a discussion, it was a decision, and he told me why, and so I listened, and I accepted, you know, it's I'm not going to tell you what he told me. I'm going to keep that private.
Very Serbian. It was not decision. It was not discussion. It was decision.
Sounds like I got ready to make a stink, if you ask me.
Hey, we, like...
I'm just saying,
stop!
Just what it does. It does. It sounds like a guy ready to make a stink.
How do you know they didn't do it to keep him?
That's what they think.
But I would say this. You think a coach is going to get in the Joker's kitchen? No.
Only if you get a stepladder.
He's gonna, no, but I'm just saying he's going to do his thing. Unless he don't
you,
care.
What are you going to do, piggyback on the brothers?
I mean, like, yeah, he ain't, like, so I don't see Joker as a guy that's going to come in and say, hey, we need to do this.
Sounds like he just needs a new environment, like maybe to mentor Miami? A young Serbian, you know?
Could you imagine the two Serbians playing together?
Oh, could I? Wow.
How would that, for, do you go, Bam, Joker,
Nico,
Kalel, and Tyler?
I don't think we're going to have Kalel anymore if this happens.
You're willing to give up?
For Joker? For the Joker.
I know. Can I just tell you?
I don't know what that was.
You are.
Yeah, that was weird.
Stephen Ross.
That's not fair.
You're getting on a plane.
That's not fair.
Flying across the
you just brought
well,
up,
no, no.
You brought up
wait,
a fight.
Hey,
you just
you're right, right.
You're
getting
fair.
In a plane. You're getting in a plane. You're driving across to meet Jim Harbaugh without realizing, oh, yeah, we still have a coach.
I don't like what you're doing.
You're doing.
I don't like what you're doing.
As much as, respectfully, as much as we talked about how we wanted Kalel to play.
I love Kalel Ware.
You would give him up in a
and you wouldn't
huh?
for the Joker.
And can I say one thing?
Yeah.
You would be giving up a lot more than Kalel.
Of course.
You won't have Bam. You might, like.
Would you give up Kalel Ware, though, for Joker? He's the Joker.
Yes, but here's what I'm afraid of. Whenever we talk trades,
yeah,
you want to trade for the best players in the league for all the guys on your team you don't want. You don't even, you're going to have to give up something. So right now, if you had Joker, you got to give up Tyler or Bam.
Mm-hmm. You do, don't you?
You want to kick those tires? Or you
I'll take the one who knows math.
So who's going to be his Jamal Murray?
Josh Christopher, you're up, buddy.
Wait,
we got no ball left.
Wait, what do we... Question.
Yeah.
What are we doing with Wiggins?
Oh, what are we doing with Wiggins?
You notice all the guys he wants to trade are guys he don't want. And if he has to make a decision... He won't answer the question.
No, but I imagine, like, if we're going to make this little Serbia, we got to keep our Serbian, you know? He's like, I'm not coming there without my little brother.
Well, if they go that route, they're going to want all young guys.
What would we think? Well, here's the thing. He's only got two guaranteed years left. I would say you give the farm, if let's just say there was a stink summer. Maybe the ping pong balls bounce our way. What if, let me ask you this. What if the ping pong balls bounced our way and you got the chance to draft Cooper Flagg or trade him to Denver for Joker?
Cooper Flagg.
Really?
Yes. Because Cooper Flagg is in line with all these other young guys you have.
But he's the Joker.
Cooper Flagg is in line with all the other guys and you don't have to have an old team.
Dude,
so
sounds.
You got Bam as a leader. And then all the younglings.
Dade Sass says, Tobin's always holding his girlfriend's hand, looking at another woman walking by. That's
yes,
not fair.
That's it.
That's not
100%
fair.
Accurate.
You are literally that man.
I am not that guy.
The guy yes. looking back at
right.
the other woman.
Right.
Never yeah. happens.
Right. No.
That's 100%.
I'm Peaky Blinders, dude. Just.
No.
Task at
dude,
hand.
You're not. Like, you started the charge of, oh, Jimmy's at Chipotle. Oh, no. Who
was
that?
That was Kawhi. That was Kawhi.
Like,
I thought he was at the DMV.
Dude, what?
It was Drew Starr's fault.
First of all, can you stop?
What?
Really? Like, stop getting excited. Every time if a player cusses on TV about a situation or he sees a coach and a player yelling back and forth, he immediately goes,
Okay, but
we can get him for.
Is it crazy to think about? All right, let's just say this. Years ago, the Big Three started at the Olympic team, the Redeem team. Mm-hmm. Yet, mm-hmm. Is it crazy to think about? You don't think the Serbians have ever had the same plan?
No.
Like, you don't. What do you mean, though?
You think you? Let me ask you a question. Does Joker seem like he plans things?
I don't know. Other than horse?
He plans his visits to see his horse.
Dude, come on.
You think Pat Riley rides up to him on a horse?
Dude, see what I mean? See what I mean? Like, you're the worst.
Pat Riley's last stand.
No, you're the worst. You're the worst. You're the worst.
Instead of dropping the rings on the table, he drops horseshoes.
You are the worst.
Dave South says Tobin rooted for Serbia in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Only That's when true. They weren't playing America.
You like
Vlad chiming in. Joker's the best player in the world, and Leroy wants an unproven guy.
No, that's not.
Joker or flag?
You need some young talent.
I understand, but this is Joker.
I'm not saying Joker's not the baddest man in the league. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, with the issues you've had the last few years with all these older guys, I'd say you try to get younger and talented and let them grow together. So
I'm going to tell you something about those Jokic brothers. They'd love to have Astron down here. Oh, my God. Those guys look like they would live at space.
At space specifically?
Yeah, just fist bumping.
Sure.
What's with you people out there partying at 5 a.m.? Don't you nap?
Nap.
That's exactly what they did. They napped before going over there.
Take a break. Back after this.